title of this message is that Jesus could not have been more revealing. Jesus could not have been more revealing. The key point that I wish to make this morning in Luke 10 is the revelation of God has come, revealed and represented by Jesus. The revelation of God has come, revealed and represented by Jesus. And Jesus could not have been more revealing on that point. Sadly, though, having said what I've just said, by some, this is not accepted as the final word on the matter. More and more, particularly in this community, we hear of those who accept the claims of many different religious revelations as true. For instance, the Quran is equally from God, as is the Bible. With the multi-diversity, and that's the big buzzword now, that's the key word, that's the new doctrine. Toleration had been, now it's becoming a little bit stated differently, multi-diversity. And multicultural mindset of our universities and seeping into the society has come a religious relativism. All religious persuasions are equally valid because we, the intelligent, know that there is no one right way of believing in anything. Thus, we, the intelligent, know that all the different ways people believe is okay. If you're here as a seeker today or just a visitor, I want to challenge your thinking today through the mouth of Christ. I want you to weigh this. Be open to what I have to say today. Those of us who are believers, I think we need to understand where our culture is and what issue that we're up against. Why it is that when you talk about your faith in Christ, people say to you, that's fine for you. It works for you. Why do they say that to you? We, the intelligent, know that all the different ways people believe is okay. We know the important issue is that if it is true for those people, it is true. And that's all that matters. Sincerity of belief, not the object of belief, is the issue. Besides, God has spoken equally to Muhammad, Buddha, Jesus, and perhaps Shirley MacLaine. God speaks through various peoples, here it is, this is the mindset. God speaks through various peoples and cultures based on the times. Jesus was right for his times, Muhammad for his. God, they wouldn't say it this way, but this is what they're saying, God is the great relativist of the sky. We no longer have to concern ourselves in the 20th century, they would say, though not articulate it this way, we no longer have to concern ourselves with the law of contradiction. Law of contradiction suggests absolutes. There are no absolutes. So contradiction is a moot point. Religious contradiction is irrelevant in light of religious relativism. For instance, it doesn't make any difference that Buddhism says there is no personal God and Christianity says there is. It makes no difference that Hinduism says there are thousands of God and Christianity says the Lord is one. Doesn't make any difference. Now, I don't know about you, but it makes a whole lot of difference to me. I don't function that way. There's a personal God and no personal God simultaneously in the same place at the same time. My mind gets blown away. There are thousands of gods and there's one. I just start staggering, you know. I mean, I just have a hard time with this. It just doesn't compute. But other, no problem. No problem. Do you love your wife and don't love her at the same time, same way, same place? Yes. Now, in not a few cases, I think some people hold to these ideas because they really haven't thought about it, but they've also confused two issues. Because a religious persuasion has a right to exist does not mean that it is right. Our culture, and here's a point that I'm seeing, our culture has evolved to the point that the mentality is that if one has a right, one is right, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody. But because it is a legal right to be presented in the marketplace of ideas, let's suggest, does not mean that the truth claims are accurate. Because people have the right to believe a lie does not mean that that lie becomes true because they believe it is true and also have the right to believe it. That's ridiculous. That's like saying if I believe a boa constrictor is a pet rabbit, that boa constrictor becomes a rabbit. Well, maybe in my mind, but not for long. Truth ultimately determines belief. When my leg gets chewed off, you know, what happened? My rabbit chewed off my leg, you know. I mean, some people will hold to a blind lie no matter what, but other people suddenly realize, wait a minute, what I believed isn't true. Truth determines belief. And Jesus Christ was not a religious relativist. Anyone who is anti-Christ. And I don't surface that idea on my own. I'm just letting you know what Jesus Christ and the Scriptures say. Jesus Christ would be deeply grieved, and he is deeply grieved, by someone who says, hey, it doesn't make any difference what you believe as long as you're sincere and don't hurt anybody. Jesus might say in response something like this, it does make a difference because it hurts the heart of the Father and it hurts me and will hurt you in the end for distrusting and disobeying us. We love you. Why are you doing this to us? From Luke 10, verse 21 through 24, Jesus Christ intends each of us to align our thinking with his. And you know what? Just as some of you today will not do that, so in that day, and they hated what he had to say so much that they orchestrated his crucifixion, which ultimately was predestined by the Father to die for sin. But both the devil and those who were hostile toward Christ thought that they were defeating this individual, and God, at the nadir of Christ's experience, flipped it around, and that became the redemption of all mankind. The kingdom is always upside down, and God reverses everything and makes it the key point, and then has the last laugh. But they hated Christ for what he had to say. It's too exclusive, too narrow. As we pointed out, that's where people are at today. Even now, I'm making some of you who perhaps are seekers or just kind of visiting today a little uncomfortable. You don't like to hear this, and I want to challenge you to consider whether Jesus of Nazareth said this. Now, the way in which the cultures escaped this is by saying, well, Jesus didn't say that. That was put into his mouth by his followers. Oh, isn't that nice? See, they're always scooting away from it. There's no proof of that, but it becomes convenient because Jesus Christ hasn't been discredited, and they feel very uncomfortable if Jesus of Nazareth in fact said that, so we instead say it was fabricated, there are all kinds of things. But what if he did say it? Just for a moment, for the sake of argument, what if he did in fact say this? And you're going to have to explain why they were so hostile to him. Why did they crucify Jesus of Nazareth? Because he didn't eat bagels on the Sabbath or something? Come on. No, it's because he made himself out to be bordering on deity. That's why. They said he was a blasphemer. And he was crucified. Everybody knows he was crucified. So you have to explain why he was. For being a good teacher? No, because he spoke that which was heresy to them. And what was it? That he was equal with the Father. and that in seeing God, in seeing Him, you see the Father. And that He would come at the right hand of God the Father to judge the world. He would come with the holy angels. He would be coming in the clouds with His Father. And when the high priest heard that, he ripped his clothes, and they said, "You've heard it, blasphemy." Because Jesus continually put Himself in the position of God. And Jews don't do that. And people say, well, you know, the early church tried to deify Jesus to promote Him. Not among the Jews. That was the death blow to the movement. Any thinking person should know that. They proclaimed Him as God because Jesus proclaimed Himself as God. The issue is whether or not Jesus is right in His self-assessment. You have to come to grips with it at that point. Jesus of Nazareth made more claims for Himself along that line than any other man that's ever been recorded in history. I mean, that's just an obvious point. Anybody who has any kind of honest heart, what you have to do is finally just say, "I disbelieve what Jesus of Nazareth said." That's integrity. Just face it head on. Don't smoke screen it. You're just not honest at that point. Let me ask you some questions. Based on the words of Jesus, may I ask you these? Because they're going to come at you from the text. How would you answer them? Is there a God who is the Lord of heaven and earth? Some today may say, I don't know. You know, maybe there are more than one. Is this God hidden from the wise and intelligent and revealed to babes? Now, this is metaphorical language, and I'll explain what it means in a moment, but Jesus uses it that God does not reveal this stuff, His truth, to the wise and intelligent, but He does reveal it to babes. Do you believe that? Is this God's plan to reveal His truth to the humble and trusting, which these babes would be? And is that worthy of praise? Would you say, "I praise You, Father, that You have chosen to reveal it to babes and not to those who are arrogant and self-reliant and independent in their spirit, going their own willful way separate from You, Father. I thank You that You've chosen the humble way, the way of meekness to reveal Your truth, and that You won't reveal it to the proud heart who are wise in their own estimation. I praise You, Father, for that." Would you praise the Father for that? Fourthly, is Jesus the one who reveals this God? Because He alone knows Him entirely. And because He alone has been given this authority. Now, for some, we're getting a little touchy. Fifth, is this God the Father of Jesus in a unique sense? And lastly, is Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, the final consummation of God's revelation? And in seeing Jesus, you see God, and in listening to Jesus, you listen to God. In our text, Luke tells us, God has given us His revelation. Luke records what Jesus says to the 70 and to the 12 about this revelation. Jesus tells them to whom the revelation of the Father comes and does not come, and of His own part, Jesus' own part in this revelation. Jesus is saying the same thing to us. And here's the key point. The revelation of God has come, revealed and represented by Jesus. Do you believe that? And do you believe that this is unique, or you say, well, it was right for you, or it's right for the first century, but it's not right for everybody, and that God really has spoken to many different people in many different ways, regardless of the law of contradiction? That God is inconsistent. He's not bothered by consistency or one way of truth. Now, for those people who have never heard of Jesus Christ, God will deal with them justly and lovingly. But for those of you today who are hearing very clearly about the person of Jesus Christ, don't feel sorry for the person who hasn't heard. God is not some cosmic killjoy looking to burn people in hell who had no opportunity to ever hear. He will deal with them justly and honestly, and they will know that. The person to feel sorry for yourself is you. If you hear today very clearly, because you would be without excuse, Paul says there will be those who will be able to offer some kind of excuse, their conscience defending them or condemning them. Today you would be, honestly, I think you would have to admit, if you've really heard this is the truth today and you reject it, then you would in fact know that you put yourself in a vulnerable position. So instead of being afraid to say, God, if you're God and Christ is your Son, I'm confused. And Lord, if you're really there, I don't want to reject you, but sometimes I think I'm praying to an empty room and I don't know what's true, and this multiculturalism seems reasonable and it seems loving, and to be exclusive seems so unloving, but maybe I've been so conditioned by my society that I've thrown you out because I can't have you and relativism at the same time. So if I'm relativistic, I'm anti-Christ. And I don't want to be anti-Christ because no one has influenced the world like Jesus of Nazareth. So if I'm relativistic, then I have to spit on you, Jesus. But if I accept you, then the world somehow makes me feel like I'm a rotten, unloving person. See, but you're smart enough to know you don't have the luxury. We don't have the luxury. If you go the way of the world, you're anti-Christ. So you have to make a decision, and I've decided that, I think I'm going to side with a winner. Jesus Christ is a winner. You want me to go the way of other voices in the culture? Nah, I'm going to go with Christ. Let's read our text then. Verse 21. At that very time, he rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit and said, I praise thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and intelligent, and didst reveal them to babes. Yes, Father, for thus it was well-pleasing in thy sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. And turning to the disciples, he said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. For I say to you that many prophets and kings wished to see the things which you see and did not see them, and to hear the things which you hear and did not hear them. As I meditated this week on what Jesus is saying, there are three things that come at us very clearly. First of all, Jesus praises the Father for the way of revelation. We're going to see that in verse 21. The way of revelation. Secondly, I see Jesus then beginning to shift, and he now says he's the one who reveals that revelation, or the Father. He praises the Father for the way of revelation. I'll explain in a moment. Secondly, now he says, I'm the one who wills to reveal it. Anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal. So now he says he's the one who's in authority. This authority has been given to him, and he has the power and the authority to reveal that truth. Then thirdly, in verses 23 and 24, Jesus says that he's the consummation of that revelation. When he says, Blessed are the eyes that see what you see and hear what you hear, even the prophets and kings, it's a reference to the Messiah. And I'm going to read some scripture in a moment that Jesus himself speaks and says, He who sees me sees the Father. And when he's making reference here, it's not as clear in this passage, but other scripture pointed out, when he's making reference to see the things you see, it's more than just the miracles. It's seeing me. And hearing what you hear. It's coming, when you hear this, you're hearing from the Son of God. And he makes reference that he is the Son. Now those of you who have enough astuteness with regard to scripture that talk about the Synoptic Gospels and the Johannine, and people kind of call into question the Gospel of John because it seems to be different from Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and they say, John is basically interpretative. This portion of scripture in Luke, in the Synoptics, is a thunder and a lightning bolt that is Johannine. In other words, John's Gospel, in my mind, clearly reflects the words of Jesus, and here you see Jesus talking about being the Son, the Father, that he reveals these things. It's so Johannine. And John, who was the beloved, understood things about Jesus and reports them. And this particular portion confirms basically all of John, because it's so packed with the same kind of teaching. For those of you who are interested and sometimes think people have to pick and choose, no, it's very much there. Okay, first point. verse 21. Jesus praises the Father for the way of revelation. At that very time, he rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit and said, I praise thee, O Father. One of these subpoints, his praise was prompted by rejoicing greatly in the Holy Spirit. And I made reference to that. This is just a little insertion here. It reminded me that I'm probably not going to praise the Lord and I'm not going to rejoice greatly if somehow I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit, that I'm not in the Spirit of God. And I really see that. When I'm in the Spirit, there is this rejoicing and there is this praise, and when I'm not, it's not. And some of you may be thinking, no, I don't really praise the Lord a whole lot and I'm really not rejoicing. Well, come back and ask yourself, am I quenching the Holy Spirit of God? Is there some sin in my life that God just is grieved by? It doesn't make any difference if the culture says it's right. You don't change the laws and principles of God. If I jump out the 10th story of a building, I'm going down. If I sin against God, I quench and grieve the Holy Spirit. He's not present in my mind and heart, and I'm not going to really rejoice, and I'm not going to be full of praise. It just, I can't. We won't change him. And here you see Jesus just full of the Holy Spirit, and thus it leads to that praise. And it's interesting that his praise began with Father and Lord of heaven and earth. Jesus says there is a Father. There is one God, not thousands. Jesus would never have taught that. He would say Hinduism is wrong. We love the Hindus, but you can't have both, Jesus would say. He would never say, oh, that's okay, they can believe in thousands of gods. Jesus never taught that. Don't say that to put down Hindus. I'm just saying, you're smart, you know that. Why do we just kind of blind ourselves in all this politically correct stuff? We don't do it in any of the other area, but we do it somehow in some of these areas nowadays. And I think it just shows the people who are indifferent to certain subject matters want to just kind of make it all generic. But they don't do it in their area of specialty. Thirdly, his praise was over the hiding and revealing of the truth. And at first that could seem kind of strange. But I've already made allusion to that. When he talks here about the wise and the intelligent, this is very important. Some of us have a high IQ and it's not impressive to God. Doesn't mean it's unimpressive, but the problem here, when he talks about the wise and intelligent versus the babes are those who are babes. Every mother understands this.
For the conclusion of this message, please turn your cassette to side 2.